evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Secret Museum of the Air, a weekly broadcast of the world's music, historic landmarks from the dawn of recording through the golden age of the gramophone. Join us for the next hour as your host, Citizen Kafka, visits with curator Pat Conti in the Secret Museum.
Good evening, Pat.
Good evening. To the citizen and all listening, welcome to the Secret Museum. Tonight we'll be examining a phenomenon that has been suppressed pretty successfully until recent years, involving country blues musicians during the race record craze of the 1920s and 30s, preserving the last remnants of black country music on record. We have some beautiful and rare music tonight. Black country music. We'll be starting off with the voice of Daisy Douglas. This is how she was portrayed on an old race record in the 1920s, masking the identity of a minor blues figure by the name of Virginia Childs, who will have some interesting accompaniment, and more on that later, from November of 1926. From there to 1927 in the studios of Jeanette in Richmond, Indiana, or Gennett, if you prefer, and the sound of Taylor's Kentucky Boys, one of the seminal old-time string bands from western Kentucky. And lastly, a rollicking version of the Hen Cackle and a string band led by the less-than-minor figure of Joe Evans, as he recorded for the Oriole Company under the name of the Two Poor Boys.
Really?
Along with his partner McLean. And enough said.
If I'm feeling just like I feel today. If I'm feeling tomorrow just like I feel today, I pack my trunk and make my getaway.
Thank you.
That was Evans and McLean, the rollicking mandolin and guitar duet recorded for the ARC company in the very early days of that company in the, I'd say, about 1926, and their version of the Hen Cackle, and really a harbinger for things to come as far as mandolin and guitar goes. Some real old-fashioned country music, and from two essentially bluesmen. Joe Evans was a bluesman on Paramount earlier than that, or was it later? Before that, we heard from Taylor's Kentucky Boys, which was the name given to an aggregation of musicians that really centered around four main characters, Doc Roberts being one of them, Marion Underwood, the great banjo player who brought us the Coal Creek March, a man by the name of Sam Harris, who was a sort of a maudlin kind of ballad singer, and Alton Ray, his partner, and centering also around, and I think for the most part, the Booker Orchestra, which was a family of black musicians, a string band that recorded for the Jeanette Company, very few titles. Here we have an integrated session, one of the very few in the annals of blues and country music, which features the great, great fiddling, as you heard, of Joe Booker, who was a handicapped fiddler and very much like the character that Bill Monroe used to describe, Arnold Schultz, the black fiddler that gave so much inspiration to Monroe. And this is definitely a contemporary of his and one of the really stellar fiddlers in American country music, accompanied here by Mr. Underwood on the banjo. It happened several times in Kentucky. There was a session, I don't think it was issued, by another Kentucky musician by the name of Welby Toomey, who featured on his unissued records, which we've yet to hear and have not surfaced yet, a six-fingered, supposedly, black pianist. It did happen in this part of Kentucky quite a bit, and Joe Booker actually did make one record, one side of one record, with Doc Roberts, who is certainly one of the two or three great fiddlers of the region. And we started with St. Louis Blues, St. Louis Blues as sung by Virginia Childs under the name of Daisy Douglas. She apparently was under contract to someone else and came along without her regular band and used two studio musicians who happened to be around at the time from Georgia, the guitarist by the name of Riley Puckett, who certainly must be the Oliver Hardy of old-time guitar, that is to say a well-loved character, and Clayton McMichin on fiddle, another one of those legendary integrated sessions. And one of the few blues we'll hear on this program, we have another one coming up actually, this one by a sort of vaudeville duo by the name of Pet and Can. Except here we hear something much more stark, much more backwoods, or I should say real delta, and featuring the concertina of a man by the name of Walter Rhodes playing his version of the Banty Rooster, which he calls the Crowing Rooster. We'll then hear a recording taken at the Brevard Plantation in Columbia, South Carolina in 1939 by, I believe it was Alan Lomax, and the group comprised of Israel Alston, Belton Reese, and Thaddeus Goodson, who left us a tremendous legacy of black string band music. We'll hear their version of Bylum Cabbage Down, followed with a version of Roll Down the Line, played with bones. And ending up with one more, because we just couldn't get enough of them, and another version of I Got Mine, which they call I'm the Leader of High Society, which will feature Mr. Alston on the bones. So some backwoods country music. We'll go back to the Delta right now, and the Crowing Rooster.
Put him in my back door.
coming in flopping wings and foam. Watch a woman, a rooster, he won't crow one day. Watch a woman, a rooster, he won't crow one day. Watch a woman, a woman, wonder nothing she say. Gonna take my picture, hang it up against the wall. Gonna take my picture, hang it up against the wall. What about it? Tell him that's all, that's all. And my picture, put it in a frame. And take my picture, put it in a frame. I know my dog in it where I hear him bark. I can tell my baby if I see her in the dark.
I'm not at liberty to give these names, as these men are afraid of being turned out of the church. Was sung in the lower part of Richland County more than 50 years ago.
Go down tonight, go down tonight, go down tonight, go down tonight.
Woodstock made up by Tad Goodson and Belden Reese, playing to the old country dance at the Bard Plantation. March 9th, 1939.
This song, from the other side of the record, was sung on the Brevard Plantation, Bluff Road, near Columbia, South Carolina. Date, March 9th, 1939.
Well, I got my golden old lady, I got mine. Ever since she's been wrangled, she's been living on chicken and wine. Some of those natives got 60 days, and some of them got 9. I'm a leader of a high society, since I got mine. I went down to a big barbecue, able to say it was fine. I said to those hungry coons that got chicken on my mind. The lady, she passed chicken around, how the nigger's eyes did shine. And I could not help from grabbing, so I got mine. I got mine, God knows it, I got mine. Some of the niggas with a ball and chain and some paid the fine. But I'm a leader of high society since I got mine. I went down with a beautiful girl, I was about 9. Dressed up like a millinery and I said it did look fine. Caught her setting on another nigga's lap and that was a very bad sign. And I told her what I thought of her, but I got mine. I got mine, God knows it, I got mine. Ever since I've been wangled, so I've been living on chicken and wine. Some of the natives got 60 days and some paid the fine. But I'm a leader of a high society since I got mine. I got mine, God knows it, got mine. Ever since I've been wangled, so I've been living on chicken and wine. Some of the natives wore the ball and chain, some paid the fine. I'm a leader of a high society since I got mine.
This song was sung by Thaddeus Goodson.
That was the voice of Thaddeus Goodson. I guess we made a mistake there. That's Mr. Alston on the bones.
So there are two players there.
Yeah, that was all a right. Singer and his accompanist. This is from March 9th of 1939 at the Brevard Plantation. I guess he actually announced that at some point. Reese, Goodson, and Alston. Before Roll Down the Line, the song that we all know, courtesy of Uncle Dave Macon and various others, the Allen Brothers, I think. Bile Them Cabbage Down, which we know from time immemorial. And then The Crowing Rooster, which has been forgotten until now. Walter Rhodes on the accordion.
Now, what show are we in tonight? Is this the country show?
Well, this is blues in the country, I guess. This is we've tried to glean through the race record files, and of course the Library of Congress, and try to find some of the last remnants of black country music. And to complement this show, we'll be following up with country musicians as they were imitating the blues men.
Actually, that's more common. That's an easier genre to find in the annals of commercial recordings.
Yes, it's tough to find someone who's really successful at it, but this kind of crossing of the lines was a lot more common in the previous century, but we do have those precious glimpses from time to time. It's still out there. It's still happening, and there still are some great fiddle and banjo duets going on, and country musicians down south still playing. But these are some of the early ones. Next, we are going to visit the land of Dada, courtesy of the Alabama Sheiks, who I'm sure never saw the word Dada in print. They recorded for Victor in the late 20s, and very much in the line of other duos that recorded, in fact, for the same company. And we'll hear their song, I'm Talking About You. We'll then go back to Mississippi. One of the real primeval bands was led by a man by the name of Sid Hemphill, along with the banjo player Lucius Smith, who had one of the most individual style of banjo playing, we should say, recorded for the Archive of Folk Song again in 1938. We'll hear their version of Leather Breeches. Then we'll hear the full-blown Taylor's Kentucky Boys again. They're visiting us again. This is a larger group than we heard before, and their version of something called Soldier Joy. And lastly, we'll hear from Mr. Hemphill and Lucia Smith again, and their version of Rye Straw. So first, I'm talking about you.
And quit and do anything that you want to do. Someday you'll want me and I won't want you. I'm talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I don't care what you do. What did the girl say when you swallowed a cat? A belly full of pussy and a tie like that. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I'm a-talking about you, I don't care what you do. You's a woman running around from my hand to hand. I've got my woman and you got your man. I'm a-talking about you. I'm a-talking about you. I'm a-talking about you, I don't care what you do. You don't treat me, you won't treat me right. Take it back where you had it last night. I'm a-talking about you. Oh, I'm a-talking about you. I'm talking about you. I don't care what you do. Mine and somebody else's toe. I can't stand the way you do. I'm talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I don't care what you do. I met your man when you're from house to house. I know you when you're best woman and put you out. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you, I don't care what you do. Then put your hand for me the other night. You can bring it down to tomorrow night. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you. I'm a talking about you, I don't care what you do.
Well, boy, who made your bridges? Well, boy, well, who made your bridges? The mammy cut them out. That's those bridges. They keep out bed for the animals. Well, boy. Well, boy. Well, boy. Well, boy. Well, who made your bridges? Well, the mammy cut them out. That's those bridges. They keep out the bed for the animals.
Thank you. them go do, yes I do. Love them go do, yes I do. Love them go do, yes I do.
These are astonishing records.
Well, you have to remember, of course, that the AFS records were never commercially issued, and in many cases, some of them remained in the archive as protected or restricted for use, and only very recently, within the last few years, ever came to light. Sid Hemphill was studied by various people. His claim to fame, really, was his playing of the 10-hole syrinx, one of the last of the great quill players was Sid Hemphill, but he did lead a string band, and they were briefly spotlighted. Lucius Smith, the banjo player, only passed away a short number of years ago. Mike Seeger told me a story about sitting with him and spending an afternoon trying to get the right hand technique, which sounds something like clawhammer, but is totally his own. And he remembers that after some time, and Mike was coming close to it, as only he can, being a master of old-time playing himself, and Smith just leaned forward with a glint in his eye, a bit of a wink on one side, and just said, "You won't get it." Then we heard the full-blown Taylor's Kentucky Boys with Jim Booker just flying through Soldier's Joy. I think you wanted to make a comment about that.
Well, I didn't want to make a comment, but the comment that I made off the mic was that it's not a race record in any sense of the word.
No, this is definitely
the music,
a hillbilly.
The music is pure as it's played by everybody.
But Soldier's Joy has to be one of a tune from colonial days in America, and it's not hard to imagine it sounding very much the same 100 years,
well, 200
years.
Well, there must have been
before
slave musicians who played for the white masters,
mm-hmm,
you know, for socials and parties and things, who played in that popular style. Mm-hmm. You know, they were pop musicians.
And we started with the bizarre Alabama Sheiks, one of the few string bands
that
we get to
hear. Now, that's a weird record, man.
From Alabama.
That's weird.
And sounding very much like another Georgia fiddler by the name of Andy and Jim Baxter, his son, who also recorded for Victor. An example of real country people trying to sound like the uptown chics, I think. Not coming close, but doing something right. I just can't put my finger on it.
It's as perfect an amalgam of different styles as I've heard. Played the last record that I remember that had that amalgam so well was a Caribbean, a very early Caribbean record, which was a mishmash of American styles and New Orleans styles and Caribbean style and a little African music and French music, all blended up together.
Cuckoo says it all, doesn't it?
But I mean, you name any of the popular genres of music during the 20s from that part of the country, and they're all in there. I mean, it's really blues, it's really country, it's really old-timey.
Well, speaking of old-time music, we have, I think, one of the most startling recordings. We have three, actually, from this group. Fraser and Patterson recorded on a field trip in the 1930s in Mississippi. Three tunes. We'll hear Old Joe, The Old Cow Died, and Going to Texas. And I think some of the most incredible fiddle and banjo playing I've ever heard. And I think you'll agree. And enough prattle.
Hey,
Patterson on the fiddle, Nathan Frazier on the fretless banjo, and I was mistaken about Mississippi. That was Nashville, Tennessee, as the files read.
You said outside of Nashville.
Or somewhere outside
of Nashville. Not in a studio.
Certainly not. And the year was 1942, and we were just commenting that here are leaves of the golden bough of American music. This is from the main vein. Some of the greatest, I think, country music on record, and by two unsung black musicians from Tennessee. We heard that version of Cumberland Gap called Going to Texas. The Old Cow Died was before that, and Old Joe.
Epitomize that hard-playing country style.
It is really the heart of our country's music, is this style of playing. And incredibly, it's recordings like these that laid buried in paperwork, bureaucracy, and the mismanagement, and everything else you could say bad about that fine institution, the Library of Congress, who preserved it in the first place. Thank God for people like the original collector, but we have people like Bob Carlin to thank for resurrecting things like this, and another banjo player, another musician by the name of Stephen Wade, who very carefully and very often at their own expense spent years at the library and working with people there to try to collate this material, to try to put it in some kind of order, to try to make it accessible as was intended.
Well, it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was a long road, and I believe eventually it was reissued at some point and might be available on one of those infernal things. What do you call those?
CDs.
Yeah.
Compact discs.
We've been using compact discs for years, and there I said it again. For our last segment tonight, we'll hear some more banjo players from the Library of Congress, beginning with Blind Jimmy Struthers, who was recorded in a prison in Prothero, however you prefer, Virginia, in 1936. He represents, again, the heart and soul of the music I love best. We'll hear his version of Cripple Creek, which he calls Thought I Heard My Banjo Say, followed by his song, which apparently is his song. I haven't heard it by anyone else done quite that way, Tennessee Dog. And lastly, will be by another obscure banjo player by the name of Murphy Gribble. Murph Gribble had a string band, along with the fiddling of John Lusk and the guitar player Albert York, and they'll play us a tune recorded in Campaign, Tennessee in 1946 called Christmas Eve. But first, Jimmy Struthers up on Cripple Creek somewhere.
Cripple Creek, going down. Leave Cripple Creek, going to Rome. Leave Cripple Creek. Gather up Cripple Creek, shooting off head. Don't eat nothing but fish and bread. Don't eat. Banjo sound, thought I hear my banjo. Thought I hear my banjo sound. Going Cripple Creek, going down. Leave Cripple Creek, going to Rome. Going to Cripple Creek, when I feel roll my bridges up to my knees. I'm going to Cripple Creek, when I. My banjo said, banjo said, leave old Cripple Creek. Any man with common sense, throw them soldiers over the fence. Banjo said, my banjo said, oh yeah, my banjo said, leave old Cripple Creek. Nickel worth carriage, dime worth a lot. Gonna leave his town, but times are getting hard. Shooting off head, don't eat nothing but fish and bread. Boy, yeah, my banjo said, my banjo said, I'm going to Cripple Creek. Leave old Cripple Creek. Green run, nigga, green run. Drinking whiskey, drinking beer. Don't let sundown get you here.
Anybody ever wanna buy a little dog? I'm right here to tell you. Ain't no catfish, ain't no hog, and I'm right here to tell you that dog, that Tennessee dog. Oh, his head is long, ears is flat, and never stop eating till the ball of Jack that dog. Talking about that dog, he's the meanest dog that come from Tennessee. Now he need more meat than any butcher dog. Beef steak, pork chops, and a liver. He can catch more rats than any other cat on the side of Mississippi River. That dog, that dog, that talking about that dog. Oh, his head is long, ears are flat. He never stop eating till the ball of Jack that dog. Lay down, that's what. That mean little dog, I tell you down. He's the meanest dog that come from Tennessee. Now, is anybody here want to buy a little dog? I'm right here to sell you. Ain't no catfish, ain't no hog, and I'm right here to tell you that dog. Talking about that dog. Oh, his head is long, his ears are flat. He never stop eating till the bowl of Jack that dog. Hey, now, now, tell you, mean little dog. He's the meanest dog that come from Tennessee. I say, come here to me, Tabby, falls right up and shiver. He catch more rats than any other cat on this side of Mississippi River. That dog, that dog, that dog, that mean little dog. Oh, yeah, his head is long, ears is flat. He never stop eating till the ball of Jack that dog. Talking about that dog. He's the meanest dog that come from Tennessee, I mean. Thank you.
That's a fitting way to end this show. The Secret Museum of the Air. Country music performed by black musicians or mixed groups featuring black musicians, recorded in the 20s, 30s, and early 40s. Wow.
That last one was Christmas Eve, I think pretty apt for the first week or so of spring. Recorded in Campaign, Tennessee, in 1946 by the eminent folk song collector Margot Mayo, assisted by Stu Jameson, another banjo player, and working the controls on that big 16-inch record.
I like it.
Yeah.
This is Citizen Kafka, and for Pat Conti, the curator of the Secret Museum, and myself, good night.
Good night, and don't forget to tune in for the other side of the story next week here at the Secret Museum.
And so the gate swings shut after another visit to the Secret Museum comes to a close. We hope you have enjoyed this brief journey spanning the first half century of recorded sounds across the earth. Until next time, I'm Buddy Fortune for the Secret Museum of the Air.
This is Citizen Kafka. The Secret Museum of the Air is funded in part by a grant from the Shira Kober Zeller Foundation in loving memory of Arthur and Margaret Kober. For more information about the Secret Museum of the Air, write Secret Museum, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202-3075. That's Secret Museum of the Air, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202-3075. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again here at the Secret Museum of the Air.